Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate, in a moment, we're going to hear more about the block party and what fun we had yesterday, and thanking all of you who came out to work. We're so grateful to you all, and I know that if you came, you had a wonderful time. It was a beautiful day yesterday, and we had a lot of fun in the name of the Lord, didn't we? We did. And all of that is thanks to Tracy. So I'm going to say thank you to Tracy for putting it all together. We want to welcome especially those who are our guests this morning and hope that you feel at home among us. Don't be shy because we love our guests and we like to welcome you and make you feel at home today. You're one of us, and we are all a part of a larger family, the family of God. And so when we greet one another with the peace of Christ, remember that you're greeting a brother or a sister. Let's greet one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I do hope that any of you all that came yesterday had a wonderful time. I know that I did. I know it was really hot yesterday, but that's okay. We had all kinds of stuff going on, and hamburgers and hot dogs and all the kids, and it was just really the choir sang, and then we had other people sing, and I'm telling you, I saw a lot of happy, happy faces yesterday. So I know we have a few things that need to be said about that this morning. Also, too, there are announcements on the back of your bulletin, so just pay attention to the different meetings that are going on this week. And Tracy, would you like to come up and say a few words?
That volunteered or came out to enjoy the day to please stand. Jimmy, stand up. There's a lot of people that put this thing together. It was all for the glory of God. It wasn't just about me. I am so grateful for each and every person. I'm so grateful for all that you do, and getting dunked by my choir director. I mean, it was just a blast, you know, and I couldn't have been, I was still wide awake at 10 o'clock last night because my mind wouldn't shut down, and I should have been dead asleep, but thank you, everyone, for your prayers. And not only were there people who came out to volunteer, but there were people who couldn't come out to volunteer that gave donations. So thank you to those people as well. I love you all, and I love Jesus, and I know you do too, and that's why we were here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brian is not here this morning. He was out with the scouts all day yesterday up here. But I do believe that we had a few boys that signed up. So, again, a praise to that. Dee Dee, did you have something else? I think maybe five scouts, yes, that were signed, yes. Yes, ma'am. Nancy. Amen. Amen to that. And thanks, Nancy, for doing that for us. Betty. And Betty, we're so happy and thankful that you're here with us today. So amen to that. We don't always realize how much the Lord is just sitting right there on our shoulder with us all the way. So thank you for giving that testimony. Are there any other announcements this morning? Oh, and if I haven't told you all, my name is Rhonda Barlow. I'm supposed to say that in the very beginning. I will be your liturgist and servant today. A lot of you have known me for years, but anyway, just putting it out there. Any other announcements? Okay. Our opening words and prayer are found in your hymnal, and it would be page 6. And then I would just ask that you respond correctly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. The risen Christ is with us.
Praise the Lord.
And then our opening prayer all together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And if you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 723, we'll gather at the river.
All the children are invited to come up. I think we're getting ready to come up with Jaden, too. He's going to come up. She's going to come up with Grandpa. All right. And Miss Anna's coming up here, too. My goodness gracious. Hi, everybody. How are you? I played with you yesterday. Do you remember that? Do you remember that I played with you yesterday? Oh, sweetie, so good to see you. Now, I want to show you something. What have I got here?
Oh, Mason, he's my brother, and he has those little twins.
Yeah? What do they do?
They expand.
How do they do that?
Like, they start out as that little thing, and they become
people. How do they do that, though? What do you have to do to do that? You have to put them in water. Yeah, these are little capsules. Now, what does the cover say? Does it say right here? What does it say? 12 shapes, and over here it says 6 styles. Can you always trust everything that you read when you look at a package? Can you trust everything that you read? You can't always trust everything that you read, can you? In fact, there's one missing from here. Can you count and tell me how many capsules there are?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
There are 12 spaces, but there's one missing. 11. There are 11 left because one is missing. I gave one away, and I'm going to give one away to each and every one of you, but I wanted to show you this. Here we go, because it makes a promise when it says there's 12 shapes and 6 styles, and it says it's bugs, and on the back, it shows you what kind of bugs.
Oh, I have butterflies in my bathroom.
Butterflies? Yeah?
But you
don't know what you're going to get, do you? When you put this, you don't know which one it's going to be. But
yeah,
I want to... We didn't know what sea creatures it was going to be when he had that. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you why I brought this. Let me get a word in edgewise. All right. Why I brought these that I wanted you to know something that God can be counted on. Sometimes a package will say that there is a guarantee, or they'll say there are 12 pieces inside, and you don't know until you open the package and you count them whether or not it's true. But when God speaks to us, I want you to know something. It's a promise. We can count on it. And God has promised to love you and to be with you. And I want you to know that is something that you can always trust. That's a guarantee. Not just what something says on a package. It's the truth. And I want you to remember how much God loves you at all times. So don't you forget that. Will you promise to remember that for me? You promise to remember that? Okay, let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, God, that you love these children and you love each one of us. And we pray blessings upon them and their growth and spiritual knowledge and truth, that they may grow in your grace. And we pray your blessing upon us as a church, that we may count on your love no matter what. Amen. Amen. You may have some chocolate or some other candy. You go. Good. You're welcome. Did you find? Good. You're going to try that? Okay. Now the ushers will come forward as we continue to serve God with the giving of our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We are grateful, O God, for your goodness to us, and every good and perfect gift comes from you, and help us to live lives full of gratitude and grace. We pray your blessing upon us and ask that you continue to use us, use the ministry of this church in this community for another 50 years. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Says something for how long everybody else has been. His name's Ron Coleman, by the way. But he's not a very good singer, but he looks great. So.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. By and by.
By and by. No, he's a fantastic.
City so bright and fair.
Oh, yeah. loving my Roman crown every day.
Every Sunday, by and by.
Well, by and by.
By and by.
By and by.
By and by.
When I reach,
that home,
beyond
the sky,
where the wicked shall cease from trumpet, and the weary shall be at rest. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day. There's peace over there. There's joy over there. There's hope over there. Oh yes, there's hope. Peace, joy, hope, love. Over there, over there, over there, everywhere. Every day, every day.
I just love the enthusiasm of this group. They are so into their singing and their music. It's contagious. Don't you all feel it? You feel it? Yes. Amen. We're going to continue on in the hymn book on the bottom of page 7 with the invitation that I make to our Lord's table, which we will experience shortly. And then on the top of page 8, I will invite you to our confession and pardon, which starts out in unison and then is done in responsively, all the way through to the peace, which we have already done. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
The scriptures this morning are out of Acts chapter 16, 9 through 15. If you're reading out of the Pew Bibles, that is on page 165. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
In June of 1982, I remember it so clearly because I, along with about 20 other women and men, was ordained a deacon in the United Methodist Church in the auditorium of Florida Southern College. I can't believe that was 34 years ago.
I graduated high school.
What? No, you're lying. Oh. Our bishop was Earl Hunt, and the guest speaker was Bishop Thomas from Cleveland, Ohio. And he preached the ordination sermon, and I remember about one thing that he said. He said, "Sisters and brothers, be aware, in your ministry, the Holy Spirit will lead you somewhere you do not wish to go. If you wanted to go there, the Holy Spirit would be unnecessary." As the reading from Acts begins, as we heard just now from Rhonda, Paul has had a vision, a visitation of the Spirit that has called him to go to a new place, a place he had never thought of, a place in the ministry which had never crossed his mind, and a place he probably did not want to go. God showed him a man of Macedonia, that is, a Greek, pleading with him to come over the sea and bring the gospel to that land. So Paul and Silas set out to go to Macedonia, following the route that so many of the Syrian refugees have taken in the last year, setting out in a tiny boat from northwest Turkey to cross the sea to Macedonia. From there, they worked their way inland to Philippi, which had been named for Philip, the father of Alexander the Great. On the Sabbath, Paul and Silas went looking for the synagogue, the gathering of Jewish believers for worship and prayer. Wherever they went, this was their starting point, to go to the synagogue. They went to people with whom they were familiar, hoping to get a hearing from them when they brought the gospel. Well, this was a Roman city, and therefore it was a very tiny, small Jewish population in Philippi. They had no building, no house of worship. They met under the trees down by the river. And many Roman towns of the day had laws that forbade foreign religious practice within the city. So the Jewish community had to leave the town and go outside the gate to pray. And that's where Paul and Silas found them. And verse 14 says, a certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. First of all, it says Lydia was a worshiper of God. Now, that means that she wasn't Jewish. She was a Gentile who was interested in Judaism. She was what we would call today spiritual, but not religious. She was not religious in the sense that she did not adhere to the established faith of her country, her community, or her family. She did not participate in the standard religious observance just because everybody else did. She was looking for something more, something real. She was a person who was primed to hear what Paul had to say. Well, my friends, the church today is surrounded by Lydias, by people who have no interest in doing church just because it's Sunday, and that's what you're supposed to do. We are surrounded by people who, like Lydia, are looking for something more, more real, more true, more personal. We are surrounded by people who are ready to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We live in the midst of a people who are dying of a spiritual thirst, and we have the living water and are called to find a way to give it to them. But I want you to remember, it also says here, the Lord opened her heart to listen. Many times we fail to realize that God is the one who leads people to faith, not us. We are simply God's instruments, God's tools. God does it, not us. So that means that we don't have to worry so much about knowing the right thing to say or finding the right time or developing a correct strategy. It's really not rocket science. It's just telling the truth about your life and your faith to another person, eventually inviting them to experience with you the community of faith that supports you. Now, according to business statistics, it's word on the street or buzz or word of mouth, all those things are familiar. Those are the most powerful marketing tools at our disposal. Because consumers say they're influenced by people, not by ads. 56% reported trying a new product because of a recommendation by a friend or a family member. 56%. 10% because of television, 9% because of newspaper, that sounds old, and 6% because of radio ads. What does this mean for how important it is for us to share our faith story with our friends and neighbors? It's hugely important. You are the best tool God has, my friends. We know that Lydia responded to hearing the word of God. She shared it with her family. And then soon she and her whole family were baptized. Her conversion had a ripple effect. First Lydia, then her household, and those nearest and dearest to her, and then others from there. And from there was the beginning of a church that became the church to which the letter to the Philippians was written. All we need in the church, Christianity is not a private or personal religion. I mean, it's important for us to have a personal relationship with God, but it is a faith, it is a belief that must be lived out in community. We all need the church in order to be Christian. If for no other reason, then we cannot love and learn to be loved on our own. It is within our daily bump and grind, and sometimes, let me tell you, we bump, don't we, of living and working together as the people of God, that we find out what it means to be forgiven for our failures, praised for our efforts, appreciated for our virtues, prayed over for our sorrows, helped in the midst of trouble, and loved in spite of ourselves. In other words, we need each other. We need the community in order to practice our faith and learn to be a truly Christian people. The story of God is the story of an ever-widening circle of active love, moving outward to bring more people into relationship with God and with each other. And so we are invited. I invite you, the Lord invites you, to join in God's missionary outreach. We have an opportunity to become part of bringing more and more people into relationship with God. We are called to be Lydia's, people who hear the good news, people who embrace the good news, and people who share the good news with others. Amen and amen. To continue our service today and participate in Holy Communion, I invite that you turn to page 9 and 10 in your hymn books as we join together in the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. You are invited to come following the choir who will come first. The ushers will guide you to come to the table of the Lord. And if you can't come and would like to be served in your seat, we can serve you there. This is an open table that no one should be held back. You don't have to be a member of this or any other church. Simply seek to have God's love and forgiveness in your own lives. Will you come as you are directed? Will the choir come?
Thank you.
I just got to say how great it is to have all these little babies in church today.
Amen.
Makes me feel alive. Let's stand and turn to page 349 in your hymnals.
They're future choir members.
That's right. I've heard a couple of them singing there. I heard Sue singing too. 349. We'll sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and the rail will be available if you feel like coming.
The love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace.